So tonight we come to a final topic in our series, worshipping God. So remember, worship or worshipping God is declaring what he is worth, showing how worthy he is. That's where we get the whole idea of worship or worship. Declaring what God's worth, showing how worthy he is. Thanks. So, in our series so far, this is the whole bunch of things that we've thought about. We've asked ourselves, what is worship? What does the Bible tell us is worship? We've looked at the fact that worship is something of the heart. It's not just rituals that we do. It's something that comes from our hearts. We looked at how worship involves all of life, involves our work. We've thought about, what does the Bible say about why we should worship together? Can't we just worship God at home, on our own? Why get together? And if we are to get together, what should we do when we get together to worship God? And we've looked at those various things that we can do to declare what God is worth, to show how worthy he is. We can read his word. We can worship by engaging together as God's word is preached. We can pray to God together. We can sing to God together. We can join together for the Lord's Supper. We can worship God by baptizing and being baptized. We've looked at all of those so far. And tonight we complete our series. We're going to look at what the Bible tells us about worshiping God by giving offerings to God. Thanks, Tim. Here are two pictures. Ooh, okay. Mrs. Green has received these two things today. She's actually the treasurer of the swimming club. So she's got a letter with a cheque attached for $550 from the Jones family. She's also got this little box from her son. So, cheque for $550, being a family membership for the swimming club that she's the treasurer of, and little box with the rock inside with a face on it, saying, "Mum, you rock," from her son. Which one do you think is declaring what she's worth and showing how worthy she is? And $550 is worth a whole lot more than a rock. The second picture. Why do we think that the second picture gives us a better idea or is showing what she's worth in somebody's eyes, what she as a person is worth in somebody's eyes? Like I said, $550 is worth a whole lot more than a little rock. Corey. Yeah, it's her son. He loves her. He really loves her a whole lot. And he just wants to let her know what he thinks about her. "Mum, you're fantastic. You're a great mum. Mum, you rock." And so he's actually got out and painted up this little rock and he's put it in a box and he's written the message on the lid. Like I said, $550, it's worth a whole lot more than little rock. And sure, you need $550 from all the families to keep the swimming club going. That's important. But it's just part of what's involved. If it's in the rules, if you're in the swimming club, you've got to pay membership, and that's how they, you know, pay for all the coaches and the hire of the swimming pool and all that sort of stuff. It's kind of mechanical. But the little present from a son, that comes out of a relationship of love. That's what I want to grab hold of as an idea, the key idea tonight. What I'd like to convince you of tonight is that when we bring offerings to God, it's not just like paying the annual membership in the swimming club. It's like giving your mum a special little present that says to her, "Mum, I really care about you. You're worth a whole lot to me. I've got a special relationship with you." I mean, think about it. What happens in the worship service? The point comes where the man leading the service says we now have opportunity to worship God with our offerings. And what often goes through our mind is, forgot to bring some money today, I better make sure that there's... And we're thinking of mechanical things, and the offering bag comes around, and we put the money in the bag, and that's it, and maybe we're distracted of thinking about something else. It's a challenge, I think, to make sure that when we do bring our offerings to God, we're doing it in a worshipful way, in a way that is actually declaring what God is worth and how worthy He is. So there are three things, I think, that we can take away and remember about bringing offerings to worship God. First up, God takes our offerings seriously. So should we. Secondly, our offerings do say and show what we think God is worth and how worthy He is. The way we bring them, the attitude of our hearts, what we bring. And thirdly, it's important to remember that our offerings say thank you and not please. Now, when we talk about offerings, I spoke some months ago now, I think, about the whole idea that Paul says to the Roman Christians, when we come to the 12th chapter of his letter, the first couple of verses, he says, present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God. In a sense, God really wants us to bring everything that we are, our whole person, if you like, to Him as an offering. So that's important. We do worship God by bringing our whole selves, our whole person, as an offering. The apostle writing to the Hebrew Christians says that we should continually offer the fruit of our lips, our praises and our prayers to God. So it's important that we bring those as offerings as well. But what we're focusing on tonight is, as well as our person, our prayers, our praise, if you like, our possessions, the things that we own, our money, our physical substance. How can we worship God? How can we show God what we think of Him, how worthy we think He is by bringing our offerings? Now, if you came along tonight thinking that I was going to be the one up the front doing all the work, you're wrong, because I've got a bit of work for you to do. Who's got access to a Bible there in the seats in front of us? I just wonder if I could get maybe... Can people find the book of Exodus, the second book in the Bible, chapter 35, verses 21 and 22? And maybe somebody could read that out and we could have a think about what does it teach us about bringing an offering to worship God. Just to set you in context, what had happened was the people of God had been slaves for hundreds of years in Egypt, and God had rescued them. He'd sent a rescuer to bring them out of Egypt, and God had sent a whole lot of trouble on the people in Egypt, and the people in Egypt were so keen to get them to go, they said, "Look, here's all our stuff, here's our jewelry, here's our anything that's portable, just go. We're sick of the judgment that God's bringing on us. Just get out of here." And so they're in the desert. They've escaped. And what happens? If somebody could read it out for us, please. Exodus chapter 35, verses 21 and 22.
And everyone who is willing, who is heart moved, leaves him pain and brought an offering to the Lord, to the work on the tent of meeting. All its service, as a wave offering to the Lord.
Excellent. So, here they are in the desert. They've been rescued by God. They want to show God what he's worth in their eyes. They want to show God how worthy he is. The Egyptians have just loaded tons of stuff on them to encourage them to go. And so they bring all of this gold jewelry. They've got nose rings, they've got earrings, they've got necklaces, they've got tons of gold. And they think, we want, well, because God's given us the pattern, we want the tent where we're going to bring our worship, we want that tent to be absolutely beautiful and glorious, because that's what God said. It needs gold. And we're going to offer the gold. And it wasn't because Moses sent thugs around the camp to sort of beat it out of the people, say, you've got to give gold, you've got to give, you haven't given enough gold. It was like, the Bible tells us, they were willing. Everyone who came whose heart was stirred, everyone whose spirit was willing, men and women, as many as had a willing heart, they all wanted to. And so they brought their offerings so that the furniture and the equipment that would be used to worship God would be absolutely gloriously shining and beautiful. That's an example from the Old Testament, from the people of God in the Old Testament, how people came with a willing heart and gave of not just themselves, their prayers, their praises, but their possessions. They handed them over willingly so that they could show how great God was and how grateful they were that he had rescued them. They weren't slaves anymore. Now, we said that God's serious about our offerings. God takes our offerings really seriously. The book of Malachi's got a fair bit to say about this, so I thought it'd be helpful to look at the book of Malachi. Now, we've looked at the second book in the Old Testament. This is the last book in the Old Testament. Chapter 1, verses 11 to 14. So if somebody could read that out when you find it, please, we'll have a think about that.
For from the rising of the sun even to its going down, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. In every place incense shall be offered to my name, and a pure offering. For my name shall be great among the nations, says the Lord of hosts. But you proclaim it in that you say, the table of the Lord is defiled, and its food is contemptible. Yours they say, oh, what a weariness, and exuded, says the Lord of hosts. And you bring the stolen, the lame, the sick, thus you bring an offering. Should I accept this from your hand, says the Lord? But cursed be the deceiver, who has in his flock a male and takes a vow, the sacrifices to the Lord what is fair blemish. For I am a great king, says the Lord of hosts, and my name is to be feared among the nations.
Just compare this. What's happened here is the people have come back from another period of slavery, and they're trying to rebuild themselves as a nation, and they're getting temple worship going again. But compare the attitude when Moses had led them out of Egypt. They were just falling over themselves. In fact, Moses records there came a point where they had so much gold, he had to say, stop giving me gold. We've got enough. He actually had to stop them doing it. But here, what's happening? God's saying, I can't believe you people. This is what I'm worth to you. You say, yes, God, I'm going to bring a really special animal to offer as an offering to you. But what you do, you look around your flock and you think, which is the scungiest animal I can find? What's the sickest looking one that my family and I wouldn't even think about eating it. It's just so disgusting looking. Oh, that's good enough for God. I'll give that to him. God's saying, that's what you think of me. And God takes this so seriously, he actually says, look, there's a curse on you if you do that. And there could be nothing more serious than hearing God tell you that there's a curse on you for treating him with such disrespect. In fact, he says elsewhere in the Bible, look, you'd be better off not promising to give me stuff than promising and then not doing it. That's how seriously God takes it. So we should take it seriously. And it's serious because it's to do with a relationship. Okay, to be serious if you didn't pay your swimming club membership. You couldn't do swimming for a year. But if you told your mum you were going to give her something really special and she was expecting something like a special stone with Mum You Rock on it, and instead you gave her a bit of, you know, rotten cabbage or something that stank, or, you know, your mum would think, oh, that's horrible. That's what my child thinks of me. God takes it really seriously, what we offer to him, because it shows what we think about him. So, as we've seen, our offerings show and say and show what we think of God, how worthy he is, and what our relationship's like with him. The other thing that we need to remember about relationship is that our offerings are a way of saying thank you to God, not please. I'll explain. Some people have got the idea, and maybe some church leaders encourage the idea. If you're feeling that things aren't quite right with you and God, all you've got to do is bowl up to a church and put a whole fistful of money in the offering plate, and then things will get right with you and God. Some people, and even some church leaders, get the idea that bringing offerings to God is a way of getting right with him. It's almost a way of saying, please God, will you not be mad at me anymore? But if we've got a broken relationship with God, there is no way we can buy ourselves right with him. The only way we can get right with God is through the offering he's given. He's offered up his only son, Jesus, as an offering to pay for our sin. We can't give him a thing to get right with him. But if we have trusted in what Jesus did, if we are right with God because of what he's done in Jesus, then we're just like those people who'd been rescued from Egypt. We used to be slaves, now we're not. How? We're just falling over ourselves to say thank you to God. Thank you, God. Thank you, I'm not a slave anymore. Here's some gold. Here's some more gold. Let's make sure that our worship of God is beautiful and glorious, because he's a wonderful and glorious God. That's how we respond when God has rescued us, when we've trusted in Jesus. We say, thank you, God, for making me right with you. I want to bring an offering to show you how thankful I am. I know, God, I couldn't possibly buy myself right with you. But thank you that you've given your son Jesus so that I can be one of your children. And, okay, in the world's eyes, it might be something really insignificant, like a stone with a face painted on it and a little box lid that says, you know, God, you rock. But if it's come from the heart as an expression of our love for him, then that's the offering that God wants. Jesus said to love God with all the heart, with all the understanding, with all the soul, with all the strength, and to love one's neighbour as oneself is more than all the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. Love for God is the most important thing. And offerings that flow out of a love for God are what we should bring him, because that's what worship is all about. Amen.